Welcome to the Afterthought Podcast Live. I'm your man Joe Hill. We are here. That's right. If you see our faces, it is definitely hump day. We looking good. What up, Tiff? What up, JP?
If you see our faces, it's definitely hump day. What the fuck that mean?
It's the middle of the week. It's the Afterthought Podcast. We are a staple in the week. So that's what I'm saying. When you see our faces, you know it's hump day. Now.
It's hump day. Okay. I'm like, what is going on?
We live on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube Live, and Instagram. Shout out to everybody on here. We are live. Go to my Facebook page. Go to the Afterthought Podcast page. But we here. We got a lot to talk about. We got to unpack. Valentine, I'm going to start with this. Before we get to the wellness checks, we all know we're coming off a Valentine's Day weekend. You know, some of us, you know, got to, you know, enjoy that time. Some of us, I'm sure there's people out there that was like, fuck Valentine's. But at least
me.
Raise her hand. At least you got to enjoy some self time. And I think that was key. But how are y'all? Let's start with Tiff and then we'll go to JP. What's good with y'all?
I'm doing good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really got much to say. I'm doing good. I'm home alone.
I was going to say, talk about what's going on. You're home alone. Talk about it.
Candace, I'm pretty bored. This is boring.
You know, why are you home alone? Where's your child at?
My child, she's in Puerto Rico living her best life.
Whoa.
Puerto Rico. Motherfucker won't send me no pictures.
Layla's in Puerto Rico right now?
She's in Puerto Rico celebrating her friend's 18th birthday. And then right around the corner, Layla will be turning 17.
And that's what
they're doing, a little birthday turn up in Puerto Rico.
You was a little upset before we came on air. You were saying she don't know how to communicate. You know how kids, when they travel, we don't want to talk to our parents. So you got to know that vibe. You know?
She'll call me. She'll tell me she missed me, check on me and all of that. But she won't send me a picture. I just want a picture. I don't want nothing else.
Mama's just want a picture.
They won't send pictures.
Nope.
It's horrible.
Did you text her? Did you like, yo, what's going on? Because I know you'd be on her. I know you'd be in her inbox.
She'll be like, she'll text me back and be like, Tiffany. Tiffany. Chill. So my friend is on the job. She's like,
your daughter's calling you. When your kids call you by your first full name, you know it's a problem. Like,
she's like, Tiffany. The one time I told her Tupac is her father, she was like, okay, Tiffany. Okay, Tiffany.
Come on, Tiff. That's a stretch. All right,
Tiff.
Oh, gosh. All right, so Jay, what's going on with you, Jay? How you feeling?
Yo, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. That only goes to highlight the fact that we know Tupac ain't die in 96.
Way after that.
Good math. That was great math.
But nah, everything is everything, man. Hanging in there. Family's doing all right.
What's up?
Ready to get it cracking tonight, man.
You know, we gonna get right into this because we know, you know, we have our segments coming up. Ain't this some bullshit?
Yeah, and the protest bullshit going on.
But I'm just, you know, it's I've been watching a lot of television, you know. I've been in the house, you know, I'm on the West Coast, so I have a little more time to scope the landscape of what's happening. And there's a lot of stuff on television that's been getting my attention. Particularly, I've been watching a lot of documentaries. I was saying this to Tiff, Jay. I don't know about y'all, but late night, like after hours, you know, that 12 o'clock hour, that 1:30 hour, I love me some cold case files. I love to try to... Listen, I'm the type of dude that will sit there and really, once I watch the case, I feel like I could figure out what the fuck happened by the end of the six-part series. I'm serious. I was watching
the six-part series.
Because you got to watch the whole thing. Once you committed to it, you can't just be like, I watch this shit tomorrow. I'm not that. I got to.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you end, you end.
Have you watched Your Honor?
No. What's that?
Oh, I'll tell you. It's good.
Oh, I heard about it. I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I never heard of it.
Your Honor is good. Okay. It's about this judge.
Yeah.
I can't get into it because then it'll give it away.
But I was watching this thing called Athlete A. It was they were, you know, diving in behind the scenes about the U.S. gymnastics team and the, you know, the abuse, the torture and all types of stuff, sexual abuse and inappropriate stuff that was going on. And it gets buried under the rug because, you know, the coaches, the staff, sometimes the kids even don't want to, like you said, Tips, you know, these people have practiced and, you know, gotten here and they like, listen, I won't say nothing because I'm trying to win a gold medal, which is sad. But it's some sick people out here, yo, like dead ass. And watching all these cold case files and shit, I'm like, I should have just been a detective. I mean, I know I'm a dude.
How many of the parents is telling the kids to shut the fuck up because they're living vicariously through their children? I don't like these sports moms, dance moms, you know, soccer moms.
Pageant moms.
Crazy pageant moms, the Michael Jackson moms. You know what I mean? They're kind of crazy. Not all of them, but you know, a lot of them.
And what you know,
yeah, Jay.
No, but to that point, I also think there's another side of it where a lot of the parents, those parents do get out of control. Trust me, Joe and I can tell you, coaching kids, we've all had a parent or two who you were like, if you just don't sit down and be out of quiet, order.
Exactly. Just,
please get parents away.
Out of order. That's a fact.
But there's also a lot of children who get into these programs and into these places and spaces. And know that they are the meal ticket for their parents. And the pressure is so high that if they were to mention the abuse, they know that it could ruin everything. So you have a lot of these kids and a lot of these, especially in that documentary, those young women in gymnastics who were coming from places who don't necessarily have the most amount of money. Like they're not from the most well-to-do places and spaces. Right. And they're like, okay, my parent has put so much pressure on me to excel, to achieve, to win, to do all of these things. And I have to suffer through all this abuse. But if I make it to the Olympics, we can get out. Mm-hmm. I can make all this money. We can then be successful. I have to do it. I have to do it. I have to do it because the parents have poured so much into them that they're afraid to even tell their parent or address what's going on. And it's kind of scary and sad. So they're in young, like at young ages, having to make really adult decisions or feel as though they have the pressure of adults.
Who's to say that the abuse started once they got to the Olympics? It just starts with these gym teachers at school and these dance classes, these coaches.
Good point.
A lot of that shit goes on. Because they have so much, you trust your kids with the coaches. Like a lot of parents drop your kids off to practice, and you know these things happen.
Yep, that's supervision. Who's watching your kids? You know, and me being a parent, you always think like, you know, who's watching your kids? Who's gonna be around and dealing with them? But it's crazy, man. So another thing, you know, I'm sure. I want to know what y'all watching though. Give me something y'all watching. I always like to see what you name some, but what are you watching right now, Tiff, that you binging on? And then we go to Jay. Give me
Your Honor, I was watching that. I got to catch back up. I watched Dave Chappelle's Redemption Song.
Okay.
What else have I been watching? I don't know.
I know y'all seen the Biggie documentary.
Things on,
the Biggie documentary coming out on Netflix. March 4th. I saw that.
What else did I watch? I started to watch Judas and the Black Messiah, but I started to watch it a couple of times, but I wasn't concentrating. So I have to watch it again. I tried that Denzel Washington movie. It was not interesting. I fell asleep. So I got to try it again.
Jay, what about you?
You know what I finally caught up on? And people are going to tell me I'm late, but I finally caught up on Snowfall.
I've watched a couple episodes.
I caught up on Snowfall.
I've literally watched all of Snowfall, so I'm ready for next week for like the season 4 premiere. So that's been the last thing I was really binge watching. And then on the documentary tip, it was the I was watching a documentary on the Sisu Hotel on Netflix.
Yeah. I didn't watch it.
Oh,
that shit was crazy.
My goodness.
Maybe I'll watch that tonight.
Yo, no, Tiff.
Tiff, you got to watch it about the Asian.
You got to watch it.
Disappearing.
Yeah. Disappearing.
The elevator.
Maybe Found I her. Shouldn't watch that until my daughter gets back home safe. I'll watch.
You know what?
You know what? Yeah.
Great idea.
That's a great point. Yeah.
I'm going to just fucking wait. Because I'll be calling y'all like, what do you think?
She didn't send me a picture.
I made Layla turn on her, share her location and everything. I'll be checking like, okay, you're right there. All the way.
But you know what I'll say this? I know I've known you for a while, couple of years. I know from knowing you that you have a relationship. Y'all have an open relationship, so which is dope. A lot of mothers and daughters don't have that or haven't had a chance to have it. So I just have to applaud you for having that relationship with her. And, you know, because she's a good kid. I've gotten to see her and meet her and from what you tell me. So it's like that relationship is important, especially when she gets older, you know?
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's the relationship me and my mother had. And yeah. I just know that when you know, we all have a bunch of issues, you know, daddy issues. I didn't have a father. Layla's father, who knows where he's at, what he's doing.
Mine too. And,
you just have to overcompensate mm-hmm. for that because, you know, you got to try to fill that void, even though you'll never really fill that void, but showing right. love and having open communication and letting them mm-hmm. know that their thoughts and what they have to say matters and just loving them and treating them like mm-hmm. a person and not like you're a child, you stay in a child's place, you're my property, I own you, you do what I say, you know what I mean? And you just treat them as a person.
Mm-hmm.
It just helps combat all of those other issues because yeah. you are reinforcing that, okay, I do feel loved. I was loved. You know what I mean? I was able to
make
my mind. That yeah. helps out.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody on the check-in. Corb Joe, what up, man? Chef, yo, do me a favor real quick. Go to my guy's Instagram, Corb the Chef Inc. right now. You probably seen it's Vote for Your Chef. I'm not sure what the link is, but go to my guys. He's a chef out of Harlem. He's had his own business during the pandemic. And if you go there and vote, show him some love. He's trying to get a grant. He's trying to get some spotlight, some exposure. Show that guy some love.
What's his name?
His name is on Instagram is Corb the Chef Inc. I'm gonna put it in the comments right now. Make sure y'all go tap in, show him some love, vote for that guy. Like I said, it's a local brother in Harlem. Could cook his ass off too. Like turned one of his apartments into a goddamn full on kitchen. Like really.
I'm looking right now as we talking live.
Yes. Listen.
Oh my goodness.
This Yo, brother this, right here. When I say this, he got the sauce, salad. The border sauce, I just put his Instagram on there. Go to it right now.
Goodness.
Call up the Chef Inc. It's right now. That's him right now. That's right. Show that brother some love. Show that brother some love. One thing I wanted to talk to y'all about, something I've been watching before we bring JJ in a little bit, because we got a funny comedian for y'all tonight. Actor, actress, writer, JJ Matisse out of Queens.
Yeah, come make me laugh, JJ.
Oh, she's going to do her thing. She's
hilarious.
She's been on the road. I've worked with her for at least five years. So I'm excited to have her. But
man.
What I want to talk to y'all about, have y'all seen Malcolm and Marie? Y'all seen mm-hmm. this shit?
Yeah.
You made that face, Tiff. You made that face did you get a chance to process it? Because it was a very toxic energy watching that shit. Like I'm gonna be honest. But we've all either been in a toxic relationship. Well, we know somebody that's been in a toxic relationship. So watching that shit, either way, I would have the popcorn in front of me like, yo, this shit.
Yo, I laughed. I cried. I said, what the fuck? A lot of times.
How'd y'all feel about it? I'm going to go to JP first. And I'm going to
tell you, yes. All those things that you said are very true about that movie. The one thing that I found fascinating, though, and I would have to give them a lot of credit for is the ability to perform so many monologues.
Right.
Like the way the movie set up, it's literally mm-hmm. monologue after monologue after monologue after monologue. And even in their interactions, it's a monologue amongst each other. It's not a lot of conversation. And to perform that and to deliver that, like, I don't know if a lot of people who are into acting understand how like people appreciate the arts, but if you right. ask a lot of like real actors, and I have a lot of friends of mine who I grew up with from middle school, who then went to LaGuardia, who've been in TV shows, movies, your favorite different series, like, they will tell you that is not an easy thing to do.
Hell no.
And the two of them, especially Zendaya, like, I was not, I didn't expect her to have that kind of, those kind of acting chops. You know, with John David, it's like, all right, I get it. It's genetic. It's been passed down. His pops is Denzel. Like, Denzel, right. Like, you know. You would kind of expect, like, Michael Jordan's kid to be able to shoot a jumper. Like, right. So you kind of get that he should be able to do some of these things, or you would figure that at least. But for her, I was extremely impressed. Now, the movie was toxic. The movie did take time to get into. Like, it was a slow build.
Her face, though, was it for me in a lot of them scenes. Was it me? Like, she just kept that serious, like,
her sarcasm. I loved her sarcasm.
That's what it was. Yeah.
She's sarcastic and witty. Yeah. You know what I mean? And fiery, but still calm and patient. She was all of that.
But you need that. I think you need those type of traits, Tiff, when you're dealing with a personality like his. Mm-hmm. Because what I appreciated the most is that in her doing that, she never really allowed him to define who she ultimately was.
Right. Now, that's a good point.
Out of everything in her past.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I really got from that movie. Like,
I seen what I...
Malcolm and Marie, they put two M's on that motherfucker, too.
To speak to your point, JP, they both had their insecurities, right?
Yeah.
They both had their insecurities, and she had her insecurities, but she was very self-aware. It was like you couldn't really tell her anything. She owned her shit. And then, like, she would be real sarcastic and cruel to him because that's just like the transaction that they would have. That became their norm, right? But what I liked about her is that what she said to him, even though it hurt, it was things that he needed to hear, and it was out of love. When he was saying things, he was trying to hurt her back because he's narcissistic. Not that he didn't love her. His narcissism wouldn't allow him to not win this argument. He wanted to win.
Right.
She was just trying to help him get to where she's at with the self-awareness, you know, on his self-awareness trip. Because he's not there yet. He don't know. But that's what he loves about her, because she tells him exactly, she exposes him. She puts the mirror right in front of him.
To that point, Tiff, I agree. And I'm gonna ask you this too, Joe, like, do we find ourselves wanting to win more or be right more than just being at peace? Because a lot of times, sometimes I think a lot of people will compromise their peace to be right.
Okay.
And other times, I think people will know or watch someone do something wrong, but for the sake of not wanting to compromise their peace, just let it be instead of correcting it or fixing it or doing what they know is right. So, like, where do we find that or draw that line sometimes? Because I think it's difficult in many instances for a lot of people. Because some people really struggle with that. And how may some of us feel about that? Like, we rather protect our peace.
I'm going to go off the tip. Right.
I think that because I just recently had a situation, right? And with a friend. I think that a person, when it's two people that care about each other, no matter what the nature of the relationship is, you know, whether it's romance or it's platonic, whatever it is, when two people are having a debate or they're strongly disagreeing, arguing, fighting, whatever, I feel like the person that by any means necessary wants to win the fight, they're operating an ego. Because it shouldn't matter who's right, who's wrong. It should matter you voice how you feel, I voice how I feel, we come to common ground, we agree, we disagree, we agree to disagree, whatever it is, we get it all out, we talk, and it doesn't matter who's right, who's wrong, it's all about the solution. You know what I mean? And moving forward. But a person that is operating an ego, they don't give a fuck about nothing you saying, whether it makes sense. And you can tell them 1 + 1 = 2.
And motherfuckers will say 5.
Six, nigga, it's 6. It's fucking 6 because that's how they feel. So, you know what I mean? So, person that wants to win and be right for the sake of the argument, and they will just risk it all just to be right, they're operating an ego, and you can't even argue with somebody like that.
I'm to that point, I think, to chime on that, it's also there's an accountability factor in that.
Yeah.
Because we've all been in an argument, and those that's going to listen to this on Afterthought Podcast, we've all been wrong in an argument. And what happens when you're wrong in an argument, that's a small little white space of you window for you to say, you know what? Mm-hmm. You right. Mm-hmm. You right. My bad. And I think when we're younger, we ego, like you said, the ego's involved, you trying to be right. And it's like, nah, fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? You get louder, you know, because I think at the end of the day, you think louder is going to get you to the resolution of the goddamn argument. You know
louder
what I'm saying?
Louder means 6.
Exactly.
Yo,
louder means 6.
People think louder always means right. That's another thing, too. We got to get out. Like, people got to stop thinking that louder means I'm right. Like,
but let me say this. I think I'll be 37. I know I don't look like it. I'll be 37 in July. Shout out to everybody on the check-in. I think it takes time for you to realize that, yeah, as you grow and you mature, it's easier to be more accountable. You know, I think when you're younger, the ego is there. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, fuck out of here.
I don't think that age has anything to do with it.
I was about to say that too, Tiff. I know a lot of old folk who will be wrong and strong.
Yeah, wrong and strong. Yes.
Now that's
like,
different.
Wrong and strong. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you can't even do nothing about that. It's to the point where, like, they're so far gone. They're so far gone, you can't even waste your time or your energy.
Exactly. You got to be like, you know what? Pause. I'm putting you on pause, mute, delete. Whatever.
That's usually an aunt, a grandmother, or somebody, that elderly person that's usually like, you know what? I can't do this shit right now.
Yeah, I can't do this shit. No, I can't. Because I can either go back. I'll go back and forth. We can argue all day. Because if I'm right, nigga, I'm right. When I'm wrong, I'll shut up. But then at some point, I just have to be like, you know what? I can't do this anymore, because I will go on like a marathon. All right, we can go back and forth, because would you say some stupid shit? I'm the type of person that wants to show you the stupid shit you just said.
Are you? I'm with you, Tiff.
Wait. I'm with now, hold you, on.
That energy is big.
I'm gonna tell you what's worse. You could be toxic, right? And you can, because we, you know, those that's just checking in on the check-in, we were talking about the Malcolm and Marie Netflix original movie with Denzel Washington's son and Zendaya, and we were talking about being toxic in ways, but if you mix being toxic and petty together, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
That shit will...
been both, right?
What you said?
We all been both. B-O-S.
Yo, I have a hard time. I have a hard time with being very petty. Like, it takes
very
because petty. That's Jay-Z energy.
Okay, we almost ready for her. Go ahead, Jay.
Energy. That's energy. I can't give myself to that point. If I do it, it's only to then have to shit on you. Like, I don't pull petty at all, because it's like, it's pointless. I only do it when it's like, okay, I've been trying to tell you, you ain't want to listen. Now I gotta prove a point, and now I gotta hurt your feelings and make an example out of you. And yeah, I never ever want to have to take it to that point.
And grandstand on that ass. That's what I gotta do.
Grandstand on that ass.
Now
exactly.
And I hate I hate to do that.
I do too.
But I love when I do it, because
it's necessary. No, Tip, you're right. You get that. You get that feeling inside. It's like it bubbles.
I'm making this
bubbling inside of you,
Instagram.
Because they taking you there. They take you there. When people take you there, and then when you get it out, oh my goodness, yo, Tiff, that is so true. But listen, people don't realize that they're taking you there. They don't realize they're taking you there.
Hold on. Is it like I got time today for energy? Like,
yes.
I got a few minutes today. Let's go.
I got a few minutes today.
Okay. And I bought lunch. And I bought lunch.
You know, but you know, right? And I bought lunch. But you know what I've learned, right? What I've learned is that, like Joe said, it's all about accountability. So it has nothing to do with age, because my daughter is 17 and she takes accountability. She's been taking accountability since she was fucking 4. Okay. You'd be like, Layla, why did you throw a temper tantrum? Because, because I'm not having a good day today. That's like, she just takes accountability. You know what I mean? So it's not, it don't have anything to do with age. It's about maturity and perception. You know what I'm saying? And you can't expect honesty from everybody. As much as it sounds so great, oh, just be honest, just be honest. You can't really expect honesty from everybody all the time. Why? Because you have to first be honest with yourself before you can be honest with somebody. So I can't hold you accountable for not being honest if you haven't accepted it yourself yet, for yourself. So how you gonna give me something you didn't give yourself? So I'll have that leeway with a person because I'll understand that. But at some point, you have to take accountability for what's right on the fucking table. If you can't take accountability for what's right on the table, then I can't trust you because you are just fucking out of your mind.
You hear that, fellas? You hear that, fellas? You hear that, fellas? You hear that, fellas? Right now, if you think about approaching her right now, you heard that last line? She loves this shit.
I love it. So nice.
We're gonna get back into that, and we're gonna have JJ in here. We're gonna have her chime in on that. We're gonna have her do the, you know, the Ain't This Some Bullshit segment. But right now, we got JJ Matisse coming in, Queens native. She gonna give us a hot five. Yes. You know, it's the middle of the week. We need some laughs. Let me just intro her right before we you know, bring her for the high five and we interview her and we have some fun with her for a little bit. This is one of the hardest working women in the game. And when I say that, she's a phenomenal comedian. She's an amazing writer and she's a dope ass producer. I've gotten to work with her in my early days going back to Harlem Nights. And you know, Harlem Nights was the staple of a lot of the platforms where I got to meet a lot of not only dope comedians, but female comedians. And I got introduced to her through my guy, Kay Smith and Rashad, actually. Shout out to both of them because they both introduced me to her. And from that day on, it's been about 5 or 6 years. She's been, look, like I said, phenomenal. Been on the road. And she's with us tonight. So without any further ado, let's get her in here for her hot five. And then talk to her a little bit. Queens native, ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for the very funny Miss JJ Matisse.
Hello.
What's up? Y'all was telling on yourselves before I got here.
What were we saying?
You said I'm hardest working person on unemployment. It feels good. I'm sorry to everybody else that's still working. I just want to tell people that right now I have time to ruin my life. I have all the time in the world, so I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. I am truly doing it. I've been dating, and that is a life ruiner. And Tiff, you been dating or are you married?
No, neither.
Neither.
I'm traumatized, girl.
You've been minding your fucking business. That's what you've been doing.
I've been minding my fucking business.
Listen. Yes. I have not been minding my business out here. At the age of 33, I'm in all the business. I'm in all the tea. I have my roster set, you know? I have my roster set. Kenny, what up? I have my roster set for the winter. I have it lined up in order to get winter good. These people have had COVID tests and they had STD tests, okay? I got a system here. And they don't work that much. I need non-essential dick. Non-essential penis, okay? So I have my roster set. I'm 33, so I'm at the age where I'm telling people, hey, you want to give me dick without your jacket on, I'm having a baby. I just want to say that. If you just want to come in, walk outside with your socks on, I'm having a baby. I'm 33. Like, I love right now when men be like, you on birth control? I'm 33. I'm on pull out and pray. A lot more pray. half the time over your 30, you just laying there like, just relax. You got 2 hours. Just relax. You can go get the pill. I don't get upset no more. I'm just going to get the pill. But I had an incident where I called one of the people off the roster. I was like, I need you to do some per diem dicking, okay? I need you. Come in and fill the position.
Per diem.
You know? So we take an edible. We get, you know, shit gets crazy on edible. I had nasty hourly hotel sex. And nasty hourly hotel sex is the nastiest sex you can have. Because you don't give a fuck about where you are. You throwing blunt guts. You pouring candy on the floor. You squirting baby oil places and stuff. You have on your best core outfit for these 4 hours. I'm doing my thing. It is nasty. You really feel you gotta go to church that Sunday because you went to Ireland. You don't want to tell nobody. You gotta make sure you didn't bring back no bed bugs. But so the sex was going good. I was talking my shit probably too good because I told him, ladies, and we know when we get tired because we say, come for me. Just do it. Come for me. Y'all not, we're done. We're getting a cramp on our back leg. We're done. Release it. Okay? Get the shakes and release it. And I think he thought I meant come in me because we know we're in trouble when he rolls out of you and just is like, and you be like, wait, what happened? They didn't do that shit. Like, where you want me to come? Like, where you want me to come? Like, not over here. Not over here. Don't come over here with that shit. Okay? Not over here. Come on the wall. It's a motel. Come on the wall. Let Maury find that with the light. Come on the wall, right?
Oh, my.
So he left me a gift inside me. And I was kind of calm because I was on the edible, too. It was calm as... I just kind of laid there and I was like, hey, we got 72 hours. It's all good, right? The reason why I sent this man to get a Plan B bill, because I thought about telling my friends about my pregnancy. I flash forwarded to the press conference with my friends because for everybody, when somebody's pregnant and expecting child, you got to make the announcement. You got to make the announcement. So I thought about making the announcement to my friends. I'm in a room. I'm like, here he, hey friends, how you doing? I just want to tell you guys that I am pregnant. And one of my friends is going to be like, by who? And I'm gonna be like, by Billy. And she's going to be like, baby dick Billy? And I'm be like, don't talk about him like that. I love him now, okay? Don't talk about my man. You know when you're talking shit about them, like, his dick was so little. I felt gay when I had sex with him. But don't talk about my man now. He said, I'm having his child. I love him now. Shut your mouth. You can't tell friends nothing. Friends will throw stuff back in your face immediately. Yes. I think this is for females and males. Mm-hmm. Like, females will definitely throw shit back up in your face. Like, I'm at the age where I can't tell my friends anything. Like, the other day, I came and told my friend, I was like, listen, I sucked dick upside down. She wasn't even happy for me. She was like, oh, I need you to know your body's a temple. I was like, well, they got to let people in the temple to pray, don't they?
Touché.
They got to let... Somebody got to get on their knees in the temple and send the shout outs up. Okay. I'm just saying. Okay. I'm not a hoe. I'm just unemployed. I got time to ruin my life. I want to tell you, I also like dating people with a criminal past. Like I love a man who said, I did my 5 years. I don't want to go back. Like, I love that type of dude. Right? Keep his Tim's a little loose. I love that. I love all that about them. I love the type of dude who looks like he steals packages off your porch. Like, that's that's the sexy that's the sexy ass thing. Well, like, he look right in your camera doorbell and run. Like, that's the type of soldier I need in my life. But my favorite criminal, I want to make sure he's also skinny and malnourished. I love me a skinny malnourished man. I love them. They just dick in a heartbeat. I absolutely love it. They never have enough iron. They always cold and shit. They never I don't know why they iron always low. Like, why your iron? Everybody under 100 pounds is low. And they also struggle finding belts. They always have to buy kids YSL belts. Put an extra hole in that bitch. Just to, like, I'm dripping. I'd be like, you are dripping. You are dripping, baby. You are dripping. But yo, I'm JJ. Thank you so much, guys.
Yo, show us.
Yeah. Yo. Fucking up my life.
Oh, shit. That's funny as hell. Yo.
That is funny.
JJ, I appreciate you coming on here. First of all, the Hot Five is always a platform, one for comedians to come on here. We need the laughs. The world needs the laugh. So I appreciate you. Make sure y'all follow her. You know, she's going to be on here all night. We're going to kick it. So let's dive right into it. I've known you for too long.
Right.
In so many ways, in terms of like comedy, through different friends. But I've never got to ask you this. And it's funny because it's a perfect time. You always hear about origin story, how people started. How the hell did you get into comedy? And when I say that, what was that origin story like? You from Queens, like talk to us about how you got your start in comedy.
Right. So for a long time, people was telling me like, you funny. And like, I was going through this point where I was quitting job after job. I was telling people to suck my dick, walking out of work. Like, I just wasn't good at much. And then I had like a near-death experience and I got hit by a car. And coming into Happy New Year 2010, I got hit by a car. And it hurt. It hurt a lot. That shit hurts. Your shoes fly off. There's no good way to get fucked up by a car. Like, there's a cool way to get shot by a gun, but like, there's no cool way to get hit by a car. You just look stupid. My shoe was down the street. I was like, where's my shoe? That shit scares you. Like, when something knocks you out of your footwear, it scares the shit out of you. Like, I was gonna say,
it's either that or when change fall out your pocket. You know, it's so hard, change fall out. You're like, damn.
Yo, there's no recovery. There's no recovery. It was people around. And
that's funny.
After that, I was like, I had this thought process where I was like, so if I died, what would I be known for? What legacy would I leave here? And people think like it's an amazing story how I became a comedian. I literally just Googled it. Like, I was like, how do I become a comedian in New York City, right?
Yeah.
I just Googled it. Like, I Googled it, and, like, it's easy to get on stage in NYC if you just bring 14 people with you. It doesn't even matter what kind of 14 people it is. As long as you bring 14 people with you in New York City, you can get on stage. So it was a bringer show I did at Laugh Lounge in Lower East Side, and that was where I did my first show, October 2010.
And it was like history from there.
And how was that? What was that experience like?
So that show, I remember I was really nervous. I had the bubble guts like all day. I couldn't keep no food down. It was the longest 7 minutes of my life on that stage. People said I did decent, but they also, you know, had a drink minimum and they're probably drunk, but people said I did. They're gonna get that drink minimum out of you, that's for sure. Right. So, yeah, you know,
and it's funny because people don't know this about you. I mean, a lot of people know you for being on stage funny, but also you're funny also behind the scenes in terms of in the big screen. I mean, my sister got an IMDb out this bitch. When I say that, some of y'all are like, IMDb, is that unemployment insurance? No, nigga, she got credits. She got credits. And if you ever seen any of 01, she was in Brooklyn's Best Star Show. Talk about, how did you get into writing like behind the microphone, behind the screen, and to get recognized to be, like, how did you get into that whole situation? Because I know there's a lot of people that want to write and get into it, but you're somebody that's actually doing it. So talk about how'd you get into it and some of the opportunities and how'd you got there.
So honestly, I owe a lot of my career to Craigslist. There's a lot of weird shit on there, but there was a lot of gems. Like I would just send my tape out to like random Craigslist requests, looking for writers, looking for comedy shows, and so on and so forth. Actually, because of Craigslist, I found the show, The Brooklyn's Best Show. That's how I found The Brooklyn's Best Show, and I got nominated for a student Emmy on that show for being a writer.
Yeah,
so that was a dope opportunity.
Wrap that up. Nah, that's not something you can't.
Right.
Black woman in the game getting nominated for a student Emmy. That's right. The book.
I remember I tried to travel 2 hours deep into Brooklyn to do that audition. And yeah. I was sweaty as hell when I got there, but they chose me. But Craigslist definitely has some gems. I actually did a show off Craigslist where I did comedy in somebody's Brooklyn loft, and there was a baby goat in the room.
Really?
There was literally it was the house goat, like a goat.
In Brooklyn? Where did they get this goat?
In like Williamsburg.
Where did they get this goat? Word.
Somebody loved it.
Probably from East New York.
There was a goat, and there was white people passing around this cast iron teapot. So we know not to trust any type of tea from white people. They was like, "You want some tea?" I was like, "Hell no! I want to go home."
I want to know where the fuck this goat come from and why.
Yo, how do you get a goat into Brooklyn like that?
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
Unless it's gonna end up at an African store, maybe for some goat. It might end up there.
A baby goat is not enough goat.
But this, On a random note, did y'all ever hear about the time there was goat running around on the Major Deegan in the Bronx?
Nah.
Over by Yankee Stadium?
Don't do that to the Bronx right now on live air.
Bro, it happened. There was one in Queens too. Like they all jokes aside, y'all, they literally escaped from the butcher spot. You know how you could go to certain like
live.
You get live animals. You go get your chickens. You go get goat.
Right, they escape.
They escape. They literally escape. And literally was out in the street running.
Give it up to the goats for getting the fuck out of there.
They say
that's
something.
The life of pets. That's something that needs to be in a Pixar movie. The goats.
Harriet Tubman, goats.
Yeah. So, but yeah, JJ, go ahead. That's crazy.
So, like, I'm doing a set in this show, and I'm like, yo, anybody got like can tell me about this goat? They were like, it's weird that you even like putting attention on the goat. Don't treat the goat like that. Don't. They didn't even want me to point at the goat. Like the goat was like Prince to them. Like they was like, treat the goat as the artist. The goat produced the show. The goat wrote me back emails. Like I was like, this is some. I gotta get out of here. There's no black people. Like I just said, do you not get scared when you don't see another black person in the room that you could just look at and be like,
very, 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 very.
You see this white ass shit right here?
You gotta look for all the exits.
Go ahead, get in there, Jay. Get in there.
It's
yo,
scary.
There was just nobody.
Ask JJ whatever. She's
it
here.
Is scary. Whatever. To that point, I want to know because I've seen you a few times when Joe was hosting at Harlem Night, and I see you at different shows with Desi too. Shout out to my cousin Des. Like, when you're on that stage, like, what is it that you find brings you the biggest? Like, how do you get a pulse of each room? Because one thing I feel like I've noticed you do very well is, like, in every space, you're very adaptable. Like, I've seen you in rooms, big rooms, small rooms, medium, and everywhere. It's like you have a great pulse, and it just hits. Like, where do you find the ability to get a good pulse of each room that you're working when you're in there?
First of all, I want to shout out public school. They don't give a fuck about your comfort. Like, public school don't care. Go in. Like, the go in to speak. Like, I have a public school education, and I just feel like in environment, especially like New York, you have to make sure you have something about you that gets noticed that is just particularly your brand. And one thing about a New Yorker that is that we will go into a room and we will just survey the whole room. Like, I'm going to look at your shoes. I'm going to look at my jacket. I'm going to look at maybe who's holding a gun in here. I'm going to look at maybe the person that steals. I'm going to maybe spot the couple that is not supposed to be here, but somebody's cheating on their wife. I could, for some, I have a talent where I can just look at a situation and paint the picture, and some of the time I'm right. I'm right, and people are like, oh my God, who do you know? Like, who you have spying on me? Nobody. Nope, you're cheating on your husband. It says it all over your face, sis.
Yeah.
It says it all over your face. You're in a dark bar in Harlem in a corner. You cheating on somebody.
Right?
We
perpetrating.
We can tell. Like there's plenty of people that I've picked out. I'm like, you here cheating on your wife? And they'd be like, oh, snap. And I'd be like, oh, you really are. Sir, it's Saturday. Take your wife out. Leave your girlfriend out.
Right?
So it's just all about being born and raised in New York and just having that ability to look around the room and be like, who has... I like to play who has the gun. Like, honestly, you ever sat on the train and be like, who's the murderer? Like, me, that's me in a room. Like, I really sit there and study everybody, you know?
Like, he got on a boss jacket. They ain't so like,
yeah.
20 years. He's definitely right. Going through some shit right now.
Right. Like, or he has on a Carl Kanai Barcy jacket. He just got out.
Yeah.
And a pair of Marcus Jabot jeans. You like, right. You know what? This nigga.
Like,
this nigga here.
They gave him the outfit he went in there with and came back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely want to ask you this too, being a female in comedy, and it's going to definitely shift the conversation. Do you find it, and this is just general in your whole career, how do you feel the woman, the female comedian gets? How can I say that? How can I word that? How can I switch that? What's your take on the state of women in comedy right now?
Ooh.
I finessed that. Y'all saw what I did there. What's your take, JJ?
I feel like, and people may debate me on this, I feel like personally, there's just a lot of support right now. Mm-hmm. There's more teamwork now because of the pandemic, it has put a lot of performers on the same platform with people we might have never done a show with. Mm-hmm. But now since the pickings are kind of slim with shows, it puts you, you know, in a room with people that you probably would have never met or never seen or never worked with. So I definitely feel like the female comedy community is more about teamwork. I've been invited to more writing sessions. I've just, you know, people have been asking me questions about like mentoring them and so on and so forth. So I think a lot more of us are looking to elevate ourselves right now. And I'm really proud of just the female entertainers community, period, because we're really, like, we've all been saying for a long time, like, it's better if we do it together. But I think actually we're doing it now and really getting together and really trying to create a safe space for performers, but also just female performers. Because a lot of the times, the most important thing is that we don't feel safe out here. And that, unfortunately, is the conversation I have a lot. Like, how do I remain safe in this industry that is very male-dominated? Because, you know, a lot of women get taken advantage of.
That's a fact. I mean, with the calls and everything, with the silence. I hear stories a lot. I've heard stories, especially in like, you know, New York in general. I've heard so many stories of the creeps, and outside of that, just women not getting opportunity. You know, male dominated shows. You know, I'm big on, I will get into a whole argument, be like, yo, for real, why you got all these dudes on the show and you don't got one female?
Right.
I've got into it with plenty of producers. I've got into it with people I know that I work with. Like, yo, we just can't do that to the game.
Especially, you
know
what I mean? Most of the audience is female. So who do we relate to? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As an audience, a spectator, we need someone to relate to. Yeah, the guys are with me and everything, but we need a woman on that stage to speak a woman's perspective so we can relate.
You know, go ahead, get in there.
I have no idea how many times I've been exiting the show and the women are just like, thank you. And I'm just like, for what? For speaking up for us, period. Or like a show I just did recently, like somebody saw, like the host saw me in a flyer and was like, I don't know her. And his girlfriend was like, oh, you will? I bet you she's fired. And I will go on a lineup full of men, and I will be just as good as some of them.
I've seen it firsthand.
Me too.
Whether you at Caroline's, whether you at the comic strip, Broadway, you can name the comedy club. You can name the lineup. I've been in very various situations, out of town, in town, and I've seen you put up very big numbers on them stages. And a lot of times it's just, you know, we fall into that dark horse a lot of times. Our names don't stand out. And I say ours. I'm in that bracket too of like, we don't get the recognition because of who we are. But in women, I feel you get overshadowed a lot. And I say that because it's like, have y'all seen her perform? Like, nah, y'all seen her?
Right.
Go ahead, Jay.
Right. Or they won't call me a headliner. They'll just be like, oh, are you finally going to blast?
Right.
Headliner coin. You heard about me already. You're aware of what I can do, but you don't want to pay me what I'm worth. And that's the problem here. It's just, I think that's with any job at this point with women. It's just there's the wage gap, or people come up to me and whisper like, women are funny. Like, I'm surprised I found you funny. Like, you don't have to whisper, speak loudly. compliment me loudly. Don't do that. But the advice that I give to a lot of women in this industry, in comedy, is especially just for safety. Mm-hmm. If you're the last woman in a room of 12 dudes, go home, sis. Go home. Like, you're not missing nothing. Go home, like, soak your feet, pour some Epsom salt in that tub, and go home. Like, don't be the last female with 4 or 5 dudes.
Yeah.
And like, I just want to thank, like, Joe, Kay, Emerson, and Javon. Like, these are the men that always support me and stick up for me. Even if I'm not in a room and somebody's talking about me, I have no doubt that they'll set people straight.
Oh yeah,
and vice versa.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Tiff. I know you want to jump in there. I know you had a question.
So, to speak to the point when you said that people don't want to pay you what you're worth, right? What do you think about Dave Chappelle's redemption song? You know, that was a follow-up to his previous special where he was requesting that everyone ban or boycott the Dave Chappelle show so that he can get paid or not get paid. You know what I mean? Because they didn't pay him his money. He signed a bad contract years back when he did the Dave Chappelle show. So he asked everyone to boycott the show. And then luckily enough, everyone did boycott the show, and he was able to get his license back and get his rights back and get paid a lot of money. So, right. Who do you think did the boycotting? Do you think it was us, or do you think it was other people?
Do you think it was, like, meaning us as Black people?
Yes.
For the culture.
I could say what I saw in the Black comedy community, and yes, I did see a lot of camaraderie for Dave Chappelle, because we know what it is. I can't call it whether it was more Black people or not, but I feel like it was, because a lot of us grew up on the Chappelle show. Like, that was definitely a moment where you and your family sat down in front of that TV and you went to school the next day and you was like, did you see the Chappelle show? I can't see
that's a fact.
Us not supporting Chappelle, because he took Black comedy to, like, he took it to just international comedy, because people just they just try to categorize all the time, like, oh, Black people like comedy like this. I think just Dave Chappelle on a worldwide scale just made everybody aware of just our issues, and people all the time are stealing our shit and not giving us the credit. So for sure, I do think it was Black people that supported Dave Chappelle. Definitely.
As a content creator, because you do more than just sling jokes on stage. As a content creator, what do you find yourself taking the most pride in that a lot of people, or what is it that you're working on that a lot of people may or may not know that you're working on, or what it is that you're doing? or what outside of just being on that stage as a content creator do you take a lot of pride in doing, and what are you looking forward to the people, like the public, to see from you?
I'm very serious about my originality. I'm super serious about that. Joe has seen a lot of performances from me. I think I barely repeat. Like, not that I don't have some of the same material, but mm-hmm. I really speak true to, like, a lot of comedians will be performing the same thing for 20 years, but mm-hmm. I have to speak to what I feel that week. If there was a current event, I want to talk about it. I truly mm-hmm. want to be vulnerable for the people who are watching me on stage, because right. I'm talking about shit that half these people wouldn't even dare to talk about or be too scared to talk about. Like, I'm going to bring it up. So, also as... I try to be very... People would say that at the same time, I could talk about controversial things, but I really try hard not to offend people. Or I don't really discuss politics. I will say that. Like, I'm very good at dodging politics or breaking it down to layman's terms that people can understand.
Right.
Because with my comedy, what I do well is that I bring people together instead of segregating them.
I just want to know, like, how could anyone get offended with comedy? You know, like, it's not a comedian problem if you get offended. Like, to me, this is where, like, you go to a comedy show, you're here to laugh, relate, let go, mm-hmm. you know, get some.
You're there for the vibe, word.
You know what I mean? Laugh at yourself, stop taking yourself so mm-hmm. seriously. You know, let someone else say the shit you can't say, you know? And just mm-hmm. let it go. How dare you come into a comedy show or watch something funny on TV and get offended? To me, that's a you problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because right. everybody else know what they came here for. That's like going to a strip club getting mad because she's shaking her ass. Like, why are you shaking
right. her ass? Exactly.
That's what you came in here for.
Right. You know? I think that's because everybody laughs. Serial killers laugh. Murderers laugh. Pedophiles laugh. Somebody locked up laugh. Like, everybody laughs. So therefore, everybody's mental stability isn't that good coming into a show. And sometimes as a performer, if somebody tells me leave them alone, guess what? I leave them the hell alone, because I've seen people get violent. Mm-hmm.
What up, Kenny?
That you're talking directly to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's true though, and I think that's how it be. Sometimes it be some bullshit, and I think that's a perfect segue. We got a game/segment that we do every mm-hmm. Wednesday, and Tiff, it's truthful to what it says. So without any further ado, let's do it. Ain't this some bullshit?
Ain't this some bullshit? Because I just lost my article. Hold on.
But a lot of what we go through be some bullshit. But it's mm-hmm. it's something that, you know, we always do with our guests, and we get your take. You know, here on the Afterthought podcast, when we say your take, we want to know what y'all think. So drop in the comments too. Don't feel like you can't interact with this part of the show. We got JJ here, JP, Tiff. And yeah, make sure y'all follow her too. I threw her Instagram up there. Make sure y'all definitely stay in tune with my sister's doing. But yes, let's get it, Tiff. You ready?
Yeah. Just give me one second.
I feel like too, Jay. Also, I feel like in the heat of comedy, you said something, you know, adjusting. And I think JJ tapped in on it. I think I've definitely, how can I say it? We always want to adjust. We have feelings coming into a show. There's a lot of emotions, like JJ said. We come into a show, Jay, and it's like, damn, I want to do this. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to do that. The room may speak something to me. I've been at Yonkers Comedy Club before. You know, Jay know. We've all been there, Yonkers Comedy Club. Shout out to Desi. The room speaks to something else that I need to perform. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a part of being a comedian. See, a comic will come into a room and hit you with his set. He'll hit you with his act or whatever you call that. That's his right. act. Like, it's some fucking legendary shit. It's his act. But I'm saying a comedian will come in the room, and Kay is big on this. Shout out to Kay Smith. Big on, in general, get into a room early, half an hour, feel the room, see what the room is saying to you. Get a drink, get your system right, sit still. You know what I'm saying? That shit helps your set immensely. And I'd be trying to tell comedians, it's okay if you're coming from another spot or you late, but if you get the opportunity to come into a room, sit still and feel it, shit, you may fuck around and have a better set than you thought you would coming in. It's okay. Speak to adjusting while we get ready for the Ain't This Some Bullshit. So speak to adjusting why it's so important as a comic coming into a show.
I will say that when it comes to adjusting, it's definitely one of my very strong points. But if you speak to the what you would call the OG comedians or the veteran comedians, they will tell you to never change your stuff for anybody. And it's not that I'm necessarily changing my set for people, but it might be that I feel like this audience wants to hear this or needs to hear this. And they can definitely give me some, I can learn something from my audience also by discussing certain topics with them that I might have not learned from Harlem Nights.
Right. Because
Harlem Nights is a whole nother beast. Like, if you're not saying something, they don't want to hear it because
they hit you with this shit. So what you doing tonight? Because this motherfucker ain't doing shit up on stage right now. You hear the whole conversation. They will talk over you. But that's like, I didn't mean to cut you off, but JJ's right. It will help you grow up on stage. That's right. The word I'm saying.
What I might do in Harlem Nights, I might not do downtown because it's not the same real vibe. Shit. Like Harlem Nights, you got to be saying something. Because if you're saying nothing, they're going to be like, "Up, oh, heard you. Bullshit. We ordering wings. We ordering shots over here. 12 people going to walk in this door and we're going to drown." I've seen people just get drowned out. And like, Joe got to just be like, "Come on down. Just come down.
Yeah.
Come down off the stage."
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen
somebody
it.
Even froze up there. Like,
ooh,
that's horrible.
Somebody damn. Broke.
Listen, so I've seen people in general on a Harlem Night stage freeze and can't remember the word. Like, the energy is too high. That just the moment, maybe too many drinks before. But JJ is right. It's
Joe been... turned that shit into the Apollo bar.
Yes. Yes. That is oh my goodness, JJ. That is the perfect metaphor
brunch, to describe
it. Brunch, yes, bro. That is the perfect analogy, metaphor, whatever way you want to describe. That is it right there, JJ.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he did.
You ready to?
Oh, it was real. It was real.
People who were like, "Oh, I'm on TV, I'm great," and went in Harlem Nights. And somebody paid them no mind. Don't care that you're on MTV. Don't care that you're in a movie.
Hey, I'm gonna set this up for Tiff before, because this was some bullshit. This brother, I ain't gonna say his name. This is a perfect moment for some bullshit. He hit me up. "Yo, listen, I'm gonna come do your spot." I said, "Cool." He showed up with a blazer on and a t-shirt. I knew already some bullshit was about to go down. A blazer and a t-shirt. Okay. We put the tripod on the bar. He had the iPhone set the fuck up. When I tell you, I'm sitting there looking at Case, I'm looking at the squad like, this nigga about to kill the way he coming in with the tripod. He get up there on a Wednesday with the tripod, a minute and 30 seconds in, he looking over at me talking about, "Yo, Joe, what's up with the crowd?" I'm like, "Nigga, what's up with your jokes, nigga?" Yeah. And this is a true story. This motherfucker packed up like Cool in the Gang on the Titanic so fast, boy. Listen, it will eat you up. Those rooms like that, if you're not prepared.
Oh, man.
But that's some bullshit. That's a perfect segment to switch over to Tiff with Ain't That Some Bullshit with JJ. Let's see. I want to hear JJ because I know she's going to say some shit.
Go ahead, Tiff. So, earlier this week, Boosie Badass seemingly makes an appearance on Vlad TV anytime he has something to say. And it's almost always controversial. So this time, the Baton Rouge rapper sounded off about Lori Harvey dating history. And he said, "I think we need to stop giving women the power with situations like this." The rapper began, "Girls keep saying it's goals, but it's not goals. We got to start giving the bachelors, the men who are running through all the beautiful women like this, the credit. who's not housing her, running through her. The last time I went to Diddy's house, him and Boo, I don't know what that is, was together. Basically, he's saying that we need to stop giving these women all the credit for dating around and big up people like Future and all the male whores.
And, pretty much.
And he called Michael B. Jordan a simp for dating women like her. Like, yes, she's attractive, and she's nothing more than just a, you know, a lay. So I think that's just some bullshit. First of all, men have been glorified for being whores and dating around and sleeping with beautiful women, ugly women. It don't matter what kind of women, if they're women at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to start giving the power to the women. But I feel like, what do you feel? I just think it's some bullshit. And why do we got to take the power away from the women?
That's a good one. What do you think, Jay?
I just feel like ugly people talk the most shit. I really do. Like, I just, like, Boozy look like, you know, you got something caught in your throat early in the morning, you like that. Boozy of that sound. He reminds me of that sound.
He reminds me of the shit caught in my throat. That's funny as hell.
Just when you did too much hookah, like that's what Boosie reminds me of. Like,
that's some Boosie in my throat right now.
That's a good reference, JJ.
I just feel like people who are the most insecure talk the most shit. Like Boosie. He had something to say about Dwayne Wade's daughter also. Boosie needs to mind his business. He looks like a black and mild. Like on
Big facts.
Ugly men, first of all, ugly men gotta have good sex. There's no choice.
there's no
option for him not to be good at sex. He's eating butt. He's in front, he flipping you upside down, he putting money on your loans, like Boozy's getting your car washed weekly, like he's probably a sim, and his baby mothers is probably all unattractive. So I don't
know.
How many kids he got? He got like 9 kids.
Go ahead, Jay. He got a lot of kids. Go ahead, Jay. He got a lot of kids.
I gotta speak on this, Tiff.
Please.
And I'm gonna tell you something, and I know some men may disagree with this, but let me tell you something right now. I'm tired of grown men talking about what other women are doing. It comes across like men are being more feminine with all that extra talk. Like you can't be a whole gangster and a whole thug, and you sitting here talk about it, JJ, and like you said, the crazy ugly baby mamas,
yep,
kids all over the place, you want to talk about what Lori Harvey doing? That girl in her 20s, let her be great. You about to be 40 and you still out here looking washed.
What?
Yeah. Like I'm over it. Respectfully, yeah. I'm over it.
Yeah,
and who's to say every picture that she's in, every person that she goes on a date with, that she actually spends with them, and if she
cares? You're right. Who cares, Tip? Who cares? I don't care if she slept. I don't care if she slept with every single one of them niggas, and then some. It doesn't matter. Like grown men need to stop talking about. I am 34 years old. Why do I care? Why should I care what Lori Harvey, maybe 25? What is she doing? Who cares? Who cares?
Nobody. I also feel like his commentary or anybody's commentary towards her or women like her is just, it's counterproductive and it's hypocritical because the hoes is who they praise in their music. That's who they talk about. That's who they praise. Yeah. You don't hear them talking about nice, good, decent, wholesome women. I got to get me a nice, decent, wholesome woman. They don't say that in their music. So why are you talking about Lori? Because you couldn't get it?
He This is another thing too. And I know people going to sit here and say, oh, JP talking shit because, you know, he talks shit about the Cappers or whatever. It don't have nothing to do with that, even though he knew better. My problem is that he knows what he's doing, and this is his only way to stay relevant.
Right.
Like, you call yourself a whole gangster, but then you go on places like Vlad TV where real gangsters will sit here and tell you he's the feds. But mm-hmm. you busy running your mouth with who you think is the quote-unquote feds about right. a whole young woman living her best life. Like, bro, go do something more productive with your time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I just can't. The way I was raised and how I was brought up, like, it is not your place as a grown man to be chatty-pattying about what some other... What women are doing in general, let alone a girl that's like 23, 24 years old. Yeah. Let her live her best life.
And it's some bullshit that he's taking the time out just to kind of be...
Why? Like, yo, this shit is annoying. Well, and we got to stop giving... I like the segment, Tiff, but I think in general as a people,
mm-hmm.
people give him too much attention and put him on platforms for clickbait and for attention... And we don't need to be giving that any kind of energy.
His interviews on the Breakfast Clubs are priceless, though. I'm just going to say that. Them shits be hilarious. I'm not condoning it or justifying it in any way. I'm just saying.
I think people
as a form of entertainment. You get what I'm saying?
Yes. Like, but it also perpetuates a level of ignorance
mm-hmm.
that continues to be spewed and spread. And a lot of people... consume and give so much energy to that.
Facts.
Like, we gotta stop doing that. Like, we could be doing, and it's not to sit here and be like, I hate, if you sleeping, you never doing anything. No, get rest, relax, do all these things. I'm not saying be extra, but bro.
I get you. Yeah.
Stop. Grown men, stop talking about what young women are doing in their personal life. Stop talking about it. Like,
that's a fact.
Bro, stop doing it. That shit is whack. That shit is corny.
It's like money. It's like telling somebody's money. You like,
why? Don't do that. Yeah. That shit is corny. Yeah. That shit is corny. Get rid of it. 2021, we gotta stop that. And we gotta stop allowing people like Boosie to call people like Michael B. Jordan a simp, or allow people who rock with Future to call people Russell Wilson a simp. Bro, these guys is making how much more money?
That's what a simp is. That's what I want.
The way that they leveled up? Are you kidding me?
That's what a simp is. Give me one thing, goddamn.
Exactly.
Give me a simple.
Well, listen. I got it. We got to get JJ out of here. I just want to say, first of all, sis, I appreciate you coming on here, taking the time out. We've had you for a while, talking about, you know, what you do and what you bring to the culture. I'm excited because we in Atlanta, March
24th. We in Atlanta. Say it again.
The 27th. Joe. Uptown Comedy Corner, March 26th through the 27th. We four shows. My sister's down here about to light. I'm telling you, when I tell you this, I know this. She's about to body. And I'm looking into the future. But besides that, JJ, talk to the people. What you got coming up? What can we look forward to in 2021? What you got working on? What you got coming up?
2021, I'm starring in a series co-writing a series called The Break Room. It's from the producer Zoe. She also came out with another YouTube joint that's real popular now. I also got that. I also got a new show that I just became a writer on. It's in the work, it's in the work, in the writer's room, finally. Show could be coming to Hulu. We just speaking it into existence. So,
ooh.
And ATL.
What's up?
ATL, that's the three biggest things I got coming up.
Yeah.
Yo, Joe, before we let JJ go, you know what we gotta ask her. You know what we gotta ask her.
Dad.
JJ, you get to pick five comedians to do your dream show with. Your host, your features, your headliners. You get five with yourself, dead or alive, men or women, doesn't matter. You gotta give us your five. Who you want on that show with you?
Five people, including myself.
Yeah,
whoever. Your JJ's top five.
Yes,
all time show.
So one is Gina Yashir. I love Gina Yashir. Adam Sandler.
Classic.
Gotta have Dave.
Come on with it.
Dave. I would like Monique. I don't care.
Gotta have Monique.
I love Monique.
I don't care if we banned her. And I'm gonna go with Kevin Hart.
Okay.
I like that.
I'm gonna go with Kev. Nice. A lot of people say his last special was bad, but I laughed at the brick oven pizza joke personally.
That was funny.
That shit was funny. The brick oven pizza joke. Oh. That shit was funny.
I don't remember it. It was just so bad I couldn't get into it.
That was the highlight of it for me.
Yeah.
That was the highlight one for me too. Anything else? I was with you, Tiff. Like,
I'm like, oh man, no.
But JJ, thank you. My bad. Honorable mention.
Honorable mention. I want to change it to Rashid. I think his name. Poppy. Why the cast sleep on the bread?
R.I.P. Rashid. Listen, that's a killer right there. Hold on a minute. Let me go see right now for the 40 right there. Oh, that's a classic. Shout out to Rashid. R.I.P. him. That's a nice lineup. I would pay to go see that any day. I'll pay twice to go see that lineup. But JJ, I appreciate you coming on, taking the time out, and you know, just rocking with me. And I will be in Atlanta with you. And we're gonna act up. I'm letting you know that right now. We're gonna be at the Waffle House. We're gonna be every goddamn way in Atlanta. We're gonna be there. What safe though? COVID safe. Don't worry, y'all. AJ Matisse, show some love one more time. Comedian, actor, writer, an amazing guest tonight. Thank you, sis. Follow her, JJ Matisse, on Instagram. And we're gonna have you back on. You already know that, sis. Keep grinding. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Dick in a heartbeat.
Yo,
she's an amazing, amazing person.
Her hot five was hilarious.
Yeah,
Adam,
whoever comes on, Joe, whatever comedians we have come on, gotta bring it. JJ has set the bar.
Her five was definitely diverse, more than any five I've seen. Bob's was cool. Bob had an intricate five because he went into the greats.
Yes.
The talent's five was cool too. So like, it's interesting to see each week when we have a comedian come by.
I thought you was talking about that.
No, I'm talking about her 5 minutes to start, Joe.
Oh, my fault.
Yeah.
JJ's hot five.
Her hot five, not her top five. You gotta
go back and listen to that. Make sure you go back.
It was
stealing
funny.
Her shit, Eva. I know. I'm just
that shit was funny. Listen, I'm telling you,
that shit is funny.
When she says
the bar is very high.
The bar is very high, and she's
very
said,
high after what JJ like did.
He looked like he steals your packages off your porch. That shit right there. Oh God. Oh man.
That's funny.
But she will be in Atlanta with the gang, UGK Comedy, my brothers Emerson, K Smith, Javon. JJ is on the lineup. Yes, the only female, because she about to kill it. She gonna kill every show. We got Rashawn Reese, we got K Dub, myself, and we got my brother Gray performing also. Some of his That's right, because you know Atlanta is a part of the music part, so you got to have some music performances. So shout out to Gray, just added to the mix, March 26th to the 27th. But Jay, nice. It's time for the pro tip.
Yo, you know what today is, y'all?
Let's talk. I think Michael Jordan's birthday. That's one of them.
Yes,
but I don't know if that's the one.
Yes, Joe, it's like brunch. We on the same page without even discussing it. That's where I was going with this.
Go ahead.
So, as Joe said, the perfect segue without even segueing. Today is the birthday of the GOAT, the legendary Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
The GOAT.
And one quote that Mike always said that I think was like, it's so important, and it rings true to whatever it is you do in life. And we'll talk about it more, is that this is what Mike said. The minute you get away from fundamentals, whether it's proper technique, work ethic, mental preparation, the bottom can fall out of your game, your schoolwork, your job, whatever you're doing. Say that one more time. Mm-hmm. The minute you get away from fundamentals, whether it's proper technique, work ethic, or mental preparation, the bottom can fall out of your game, schoolwork, job, whatever it is you're doing. I think that's very crystal clear. You know, it's Mike's birthday. It's Black History Month. The attention to detail is always so important. And I'm always someone who's big on saying that. Attention to detail. I say mm-hmm. that when I'm coaching my kids all the time. I say that to myself at work. I say that to family members, to friends. We say that to each other. Joe says that a lot too. Joe and JJ, it was fascinating when y'all were talking about it, and I was thinking about the pro tip, how y'all were like, how you gotta pay attention to the little things when you're in the room. How you gotta have a pulse, like those little things that you do all the time, over and over and over. Mm-hmm. That's what makes you great. That's what prepares you. When you stop doing that, it can all disappear. The moment you stop sitting here, you know, we keep reading our press clippings, or the moment we keep thinking, oh, okay, I ain't got to do this anymore, boom, that's when it drops.
When you get complacent and you settle, and, you know, Kobe said something very similar, and, you know, he said something on one of his, he's had many interviews, but he said, if I am consistently working out multiple times in the day, when I mean working out, if I get up, I got a morning shift, a middle afternoon, I got an early evening, and I got four complete sets or one in late night, over time, I'm going to surpass the regular dude working out once a day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be creating separation between myself and you because I'm just putting in more work. So I think consistency is key, and I think I live by that every day. Some people call me crazy, but I mean, I don't sleep because I'm going to be honest. I got plenty of time to sleep when I'm not here. And I really mean that. Don't get me wrong. I get my rest, but sometimes I can't help but stay awake and create sometimes. It's just something that happens. I can't explain it. I'll be up at 2 a.m. figuring out how to be better at what I'm doing, or how can I put this event in the best position? Or how can I get another opportunity? So that consistency is who I am. That's just who Joe Hill is. Like, that consistency drives me every day. I'm not even going front. So that shit hit home when you said that shit about MJ. But I wasn't a big George fan. You know why? Because we're Knicks fans.
That's right.
Just like I don't do this sports shit. But
yo, Jordan, how crazy is it to see Jordan's logo on every uniform in the NBA? Wow.
Exactly. Let that sit for a second.
Wow.
But he is the GOAT. He's one of the many GOATs. LeBron James will be the next GOAT. Tom Brady is a GOAT right now. He's a living GOAT. He's friggin' just won another Super Bowl. Shout out to
there's some GOATs running around the Bronx right now.
And it was some GOATs.
Yes. And Brooklyn. Yo.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, on a much lighter note.
Go ahead.
Before we finish everything up, because I love when we just be chopping it up. Mm-hmm. Did y'all see Tory Lanez's haircut?
Yeah, that's not a haircut.
Or situation or fiasco.
Tory Lanez got the wig implants, and I think that shit is like
Tory Lanez got a drop top fade.
He need a fill-in. You know how chicks get nail fill-ins? He needs
I'm trying to figure out how you go from how Tory Lanez went from being bald to having the egg in the nest with the basket shit right here in the front. Like, I could land a family.
Joe, you can hide the Easter eggs in it. It is great.
Meg is stressing him out.
She right. definitely is, but you know, he's a character. Tori is always a character. He's a character that tries to get in front of you. He's like, put me, like, I gotta see you. Like, dude, he makes great music, but he's just be doing too much. But
he does. I think. But you know what it is though too, and I hate to say it because you know Joe and I are 6'2" plus, like we're tall dudes. Like, is it something, Tiff? Do you? I want your opinion on this. Like, have you come across men who, when they are much shorter, no offense to our shorter guys or shorter, like
they have a
certain like little man complex about them where it's like they feel like they gotta overcompensate sometimes.
Tip like 4'9".
But
I'm short. No,
because he just seems like he has that. Like, it's weird. Like, he just
are something else. They're obnoxious. Obnoxious. They are.
They got that tall nigga energy.
Yeah.
But it's a little man complex too sometimes. It's like they gotta prove, like, yo, I could do anything. Like, I fight anyone, I go hard for anyone. Like, it's like,
You remember the movie "I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker"?
Of course.
You remember the midgets in the pool and the juke joint? The two midgets, and he was like, "Yo, for real, man, I don't give a damn. I'll fight you right now." And it was the midget. Damn, how small I am. Hilarious.
Oh, could you imagine if you was a man, a short man, and everybody just treated you like a joke? Like,
no, I'm not.
You would have a complex too.
I don't have that.
I don't know. We don't know that life.
I know that's like.
We don't know that life. Like, I couldn't
be wearing boots a lot because they want to, you know.
I'm 6'2".
You're 6'2". See, I can't really tell because you're always sitting down, and I can't tell.
No, we tall dudes. We definitely we start in four and the five for somebody's preparatory high school basketball team back in '96 somewhere.
If you look online at pictures of Joe and I like standing up,
JP got it.
You'll see.
You know.
I'm 5'1" and a half. Don't forget.
You can't forget those halves. Anybody under 5'6", you can't forget that half. You gotta be like, look.
Before we get out of here, I wanna throw the support up because that's what we always about. Make sure y'all go to Lloyd's Carrot Cake Bakery, 6087 Broadway in the Bronx. You see the schedule. Get you a slice, get you a cake. Look, what's coming up? Easter's coming up, Mother's Day is coming up, graduations online, all that.
Support
it. And when I get back in New York in April, I gotta get me some. I gotta swing that in. And speaking of support, if you want to support this show, that's right. Not just by just watching. You want to get your hands dirty. You want to support the show. There's the link. anchor.fm/theafterthoughtpodcast/support. You could give a monetary donation. No, we don't have Cash App. No, we don't do the PayPal. We want the money to go right to this podcast. And we get there. We raising some funds, you know. The more people that listen equals cents, equals coins, equals dollars. So please, we ain't spending it. We letting it rack up, and we gonna do something with it for podcast to get us to that next. But support, you can drop a monthly donation. There's the information. This was another dope episode, y'all. This was dope.
Yeah.
Shout out to JJ for coming on here.
It was funny.
Like I said, IMDb. When I say that, my sister's writing out here. She's on shows. She's credited. And I think that's what you want to do long term. You want to put yourself in them writing rooms. Soon, I could see her being on Saturday Night Live. Dead ass. I could see her being there. So support our people now. Don't wait. Look her up. Follow her. And yeah, that was that. I'm going to go off into the Bay Area breeze right now, you know.
Oh, tell us about your Valentine's Day.
My Valentine's Day was amazing. And we're going to end the show. We're going to end the show on this note. Let me tell you how it went. It started off with an elegant day. And some beautiful motherfucking weather in the Bay. Being outside. You know what's good when you have dessert? Hold on. When you have dessert at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's how you know you're living the good life. When you make that stop and, you know, but we went to this spot, you know, the Bay Area, a lot of places is closed. It's called Alamar, Oakland. If you're ever in Oakland, It's called Alamar. They had this Valentine's Day special where they give you a Dungeness crab with a you know whole lobster with the potatoes with the fixings, and they throw the dessert in. I'm telling you, dinner was nice. It was nice. I enjoyed. We enjoyed us.
Get pregnant? No.
No. Hey. Listen. You ahead of time right now. I see. Listen. All right, Denzel. I will say, I had a great time. But what did you do? Since we got to see what did you do, Tip? What was your Valentine's Day? You home dolo. Did you run a bath?
When was Valentine's Day?
It was just don't
Sunday.
Do that.
It just happened.
It was Sunday.
JP, when was it?
I know.
Every day is a fucking Monday in my life.
Everything's a Monday. What did you do? You had a lot of time.
I didn't do anything. I put Layla on the bus on Saturday and I didn't do anything. I was cleaning around the house and I started doing my she silks. That's what I did.
Talk about that, because that's self-love I'm talking about. Come on, talk about it.
I didn't have a sample. I just packaged everything and shipped things out today. Yes. But ladies, you can, and gentlemen, you can go over to my page and you'll see I started she silks. So she silks are bath soaps basically made with all natural organic products, herbs, dry flowers.
I saw
sea salts, all of that. Yeah. So I have two right now. One is a coconut milk bath. It's with lavender and hibiscus. It's really, really good to exfoliate your skin and leave you radiant. And that is called, I call that, it's the radiance for me.
It radiates for me.
The radiance for me.
It's $20 for a soak, and you get about 6 to 7 baths out of that. And it's really good. It's all
that's a bang for your buck. Definitely worth it, ladies and fellas too.
Yes, fellas.
I'm taking a tea bath. Fellas buy great. Some for their lady friends and their wives.
You sleep great night. You sleep great. That's a tea bath.
You will sleep really, really good. And then I have another one. It's rose based. It's rose and eucalyptus oil based. And you got a bunch of a variety of dry
herbs. You need a website, and we need to get this popping.
Oh, my website is coming soon. I just got my web designer this weekend. So it's coming soon.
We could drop the link and we could get some orders and we can get your shit popping too.
Yes. Loungewear. I love it. For the ladies. Hoodies will be in Friday. We working.
I love it. I appreciate y'all. Jay, you already know what it is, man. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Make sure y'all follow us on Instagram, the Afterthought Podcast. This episode will be up tomorrow. You can watch it back on Facebook here. It'll be up on YouTube Live. And if you're on Twitter, share that. Love yourself. Love others. You know, be well. Until next Wednesday, y'all.
Yes. Peace.
Peace.